It's time for Agriculture, presented by Turkana Farms in Germantown, New York, a small-scale producer of heritage breed livestock and a wide array of vegetables and berries on just over 39 acres. They also produce a full array of garden vegetables, many of them heirloom varieties raised naturally, as well as an assortment of berries, including raspberries, blackberries, gooseberries, black, red, and white currants, mulberries, and elderberries. And now, here's Troy Spindler.
Hey y'all, Troy here. They creep, they bind, they multiply. They can fell large trees and swallow entire buildings. They follow their own rules and they climb anything that gets in their way. Now they're trying to take over our farm, but I won't let them. I'm talking, of course, about vines. I've been battling these creeping terrors in one form or another for years now. In my previous job at the National Ecological Observatory Network, the vines, or as we called them in the industry, lianas, were a real menace. In some of our research plots in the Shenandoah Valley, the vines formed impassable thickets, making it difficult to collect the data that we sought. In many cases, this was a mere hurdle. I could say, I cannot go in there. The vines will take me. I will go around. To which my supervisors would respond, good call. It's not worth the risk. But sometimes we needed to measure the vines themselves to estimate their contribution to forest biomass. And my supervisors would say, it's fine. We'll get more technicians to replace you next year. So, in the interest of the greater scientific good, I would crawl into the vine pits with a measuring tape, a small pair of calipers, and a dictionary-sized copy of the protocol detailing the dozens of vine types I might encounter within. At first, the vines would let me in to get comfortable. I would measure the ones near me and look for their rooting points. Not so bad. Then, they would begin to tease me. Wait, these two vines are actually the same one. Strange. This one has like 50 rooting points. Sweating nervously, I would flip through the protocol for guidance. Maybe this pattern is described in one of the appendices. Then it dawned on me. The whole mess was all one vine. I turned to escape, but the vine had wrapped itself around my ankle. I struggled to break loose, but like a fly in a web, I only got more tangled. Pretty soon, the vine was tearing out pages from my protocol and bonking me on the head with my own calipers. This was pretty common and difficult to explain upon returning from the field. That is, until everyone else got a chance to try measuring lianas. Even before working for the observatory, I had some prior experience dealing with aggressive vines. Only this time, I was meant to eliminate them rather than observe them. Through AmeriCorps, I worked for the Indiana Dunes National Park, clearing out invasive species and promoting native ones. The goal was to restore the landscape to its original oak savanna habitat as part of a larger effort to save the critically endangered Karner blue butterfly. This involved doing sweeps through the park with various tools for removing invasive plants, our most effective being glyphosate herbicide, aka Roundup. Our public enemy number one was a vine called Oriental Bittersweet, or Psilostris orbiculatus. Some of you may be familiar with bittersweet. It is a round, orb-like leaf that tapers to a small point. The stem is woody with characteristic white spots, which apparently help with oxygen exchange. The root is tough, stubborn, and bright orange. Once it latches onto something tall, it grows vertically at an alarming rate, and if it doesn't have a substrate to latch onto, it coils around another bittersweet vine, forming a sturdy, braided trunk. It's so successful that it can shade out oak trees, kill them, and tear them down under the weight of all the vines. Our crew quested for it so intensely that summer that I started to dream about it. It wasn't just in my dreams. It was my dreams. There was no other context, just bittersweet. Now, I'm great at spotting it from a distance. I can see its bright green finger-like projections searching for a host to finger. I also developed a Pavlovian urge to destroy it on sight. These skills have served me well the past week, as I've made war upon the vines creeping around the farm. We have a couple of tulip poplars by the driveway that look fine from a distance, except that they're dead. Their apparently healthy green foliage is in reality all bittersweet. Bittersweet is also doing a number on our critically important deer repellent fences. Armed with loppers and a bit of herbicide to spray their stumps, I've begun my counterattacks, and I'm using a leave none to tell the tale approach. Having become accustomed to my role as a sworn enemy of vines, I can be a bit skeptical when Victoria and Mark asked me to help take care of our precious vine crops. We're supposed to water our cucumbers, not rip them out of the ground. We need to protect the peas from critters, not feed them to our pet rabbit, MapQuest. And we even have to train the tomatoes to latch onto their carefully strung trellises. I'm not used to having this relationship with vines, but I'm coming around. As satisfying as it is to see a massive bittersweet wither after a good lopping, it is equally so to pick a plump cucumber and have it in a salad later that evening. Turns out, some vines are actually good, and they produce delicious food. One of the reasons bittersweet is so successful is that birds, particularly goldfinches, cannot resist the berries. The same can be said about some gold tomatoes, which are irresistible to us humans, and will be available very soon.
Agriculture is underwritten by Takana Farms, LLC, a small-scale producer of heritage-bred livestock and a wide array of vegetables and berries on just over 39 acres in Germantown, New York. More information, 518-537-3815.